Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, this is the God of Miracles Session 22. This is entitled The Beauty of the Gift of Tongues. And what we're going to do today, and I laugh at the way that the Lord, his timing is on things. It was just a couple of weeks ago that we were in service, and we had a time of ministry, in the middle of the ministry time, where we had a tongue, a corporate tongue released, and then interpretation of that tongue in the service. And that's not something that happens around here very often, if ever. But it happened just a couple of weeks ago. Well, I've had this session scheduled for 4 months. To be this week. And so I just think it's great that the Lord gave us a little bit of a kind of a snippet, a little insight into this. In fact, I wasn't even thinking about it. I was like, I wonder what's next. And then I was like, oh man, it's Tongues Week. This is going to be great. And so anyway, I'm really excited about it. But here's what I want to remind us about this series. This series is about touching the power of God. It's not just that God's a miracle working God far away. He's a miracle working God that we can encounter, and that he releases his power through us and makes it available to us. So this series is as much about encountering and touching the power of God as it is the nature of God to do miracles. It's about it's as much about us participating and touching that power, okay? And then, of course, giving him glory and having our lives transformed through it. So what I want to do today is I want to talk about power related to tongues. All right, this morning we're going to talk about the gift of tongues, where it came from, and how it works. This is a miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit, and I don't want to discount that point. This is a miraculous gift of the Spirit that permits us to touch God in a dynamic way and experience the flow of his power coursing through us. So actually, when we're doing a series about the power of God and miracles, it would be inappropriate to leave out the flow and operation of the gift of tongues in the body of Christ, because it's actually the power of God that we're allowed to touch and course through us in the midst of our day-to-day life. So let's look here at this passage that's in Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2. This passage or account that describes Jesus saying, hey guys, I'm going to leave, but it's okay, because when I leave, power is going to come on you. Power is going to come on you in a way you've not felt it before. You're going to get touched by power. It's good that I go, because if I go, you're going to get touched by power. All right? Jesus said these words, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus is here promising the disciples, when I go, you're going to have a moment, and that moment's going to be a power encounter. Power is going to touch you. You're going to receive power. So now let's look at what did that look like when it happened. Jesus told the truth. He said this moment's going to happen. Well, what happened? When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. It's the first time it's ever happened. The first time tongues ever happened was in fulfillment of Jesus saying, you're going to get powered up. You're going to receive power. I'm going to go. You're going to receive power. What does you receiving power look like? At least when Jesus was thinking about it, it meant you're all going to get the gift of tongues. You're going to receive the gift of tongues, and it will be powerful. See, now, I want to say the word power 100 times next to tongues, because so many times we think tongues, you know, it's just kind of a thing that people do and doesn't really make much sense. We have no idea what we're talking about. We have a completely wrong paradigm of the gift of tongues. Jesus said, it's receiving power. This is Jesus's. Jesus said, you'll receive power. Okay, so what did it look like? You know, did they all like rocket launch into the air like they had a jetpack? Was that what power looked like? What did power look like when they received the power Jesus promised them? They all got the gift of tongues. That's what receiving power looked like. And it then enabled them to be a witness in Jerusalem. This was how Jesus, you guys got to catch this. This is maybe the most important statement I'll make all morning. This is how Jesus launched the church. Jesus launched the church by giving all his guys the gift of tongues. This is more powerful than we think it is. This is something different than we think it is. Because this is how Jesus launched the church. You'll receive power. What did that power look like? They were given tongues. And then the church is launched through that. How is the church launched through that? Through evangelism? Not exactly. Not exactly. It wasn't exactly evangelism. All these guys got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now they're filled with the Holy Spirit and they're speaking in tongues and they have no clue what they're saying. Not one idea. Why? Well, because they're speaking in tongues. They don't know what it is they're saying. But these other people that are from all across the world are there hearing them speak in tongues. And they said, oh my gosh, they're proclaiming the gospel to me in my native tongue. They don't know that language. That dude, I promise you, that dude does not know Italian. He does not know Italian. But he's preaching to me in Italian. And so the guy gets saved. And then another dude, he's, you know, from some other part, you know, he's, and the guy's proclaiming it in this dialect, in this language, in this tongue from, you know, Northern Africa. And these guys are proclaiming the gospel in languages they don't know. This is how Jesus started Christianity. There's power in the gift of tongues. There's power in it. This is how Jesus started. It's a sign and a wonder. It caused them to spread the gospel. I think it's so interesting. I think it's something that we don't give any attention to, that we don't give any credence to, that when Jesus said you'll receive power, primarily what they got that day was tongues, not the healing anointing. That came too. It wasn't primarily the gift of miracles. That came too. It wasn't primarily even evangelism. Primarily what they got that day when Jesus said, you're going to receive power, was the capacity to speak in a language they didn't know. Now that seems super weird, but have you met the Holy Spirit? I mean, he is not, you and me are not like him. God is not like us. Our thoughts, his thoughts, they're not the same. They're not on the same plane. The Holy Spirit, I just think he's like such a jokester. Like he's like, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll give him tongues. Your father's like, what's tongues? Of course, father knows. He's like, oh, you know, but it caused him to speak in other languages. Like, why? Why would you do that? Because I'm the Holy Spirit. This is how I roll. The Holy Spirit is not like you and me. But here's the thing. When it comes to conformity, we don't want him conforming to our image. We want to conform to his. So if he's weird, we want to be hyper weird. If he does things this way, we want to do things that way. If he calls tongues power, we want to call tongues power. If that's what he's like, if that's what he thinks, if that's how he rolls, that's what we want. I died when I came to Christ. This life I go on living, I no longer live for myself. It is not mine. I want his ideas, and where his ideas aren't mine, I want to pray, oh God, help me see it your way, because I'm dumb. I am man, human, earthly, carnal. I want to think your thoughts. You think tongues is a good idea. I want to think tongues is a good idea. You started the church with tongues? That's how you started Christianity. Are you kidding me? And we just kind of tuck it away. It's like, it's not really that big a deal. I don't really need that. We're crazy. We're totally foolish. It's how the church got started. This is power. We want power. We want power. Use of the gift of tongues. I'm going to give you some now out of 1 Corinthians. So it's in the list of gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. This is the list of the power gifts. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11, if we can get that one up there. 1 Corinthians 12, this is Paul, and he's listing out the power gifts. I mean, on this list is moving in miraculous powers. That's the way one translation says it. Other translations say moving in miracles or the gift of miracles, like a gift of miracles. Yeah, if you need a miracle, just go talk to the miracle dude because he's got that gift. Gifts of healing, gifts of prophecy. These are powerful gifts. These are power displays of the Holy Spirit. And on the list is this, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these, I want to say it again, all these, all of them are the work of the one and the same Holy Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. These are powerful gifts, and they all come from the Holy Spirit. So if we want to celebrate the word of knowledge, we're having that moment here in our ministry time. If we want to celebrate prophecy, we want to celebrate healing. I mean, who would not want the gift of healing? Who would not want to be able to lay their hands on people and see? We need to celebrate tongues. It's in the same list. And it's called a power gift. It's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, but here's why we get hung up. Moving in miracles just sounds fun and cool and like a book deal coming, okay? All right? It's exciting to us. It excites our spirit. But here's the problem we have. Things we don't understand, things that we don't naturally just acclimate towards and just get, we tend to dismiss. And we tend to be really excited about the things we're excited about, and therefore we then pursue those things. But when something we're not excited about and something that we are excited about are on the same list, we need to check our motives. We need to check ourselves. We need to have a conversation with the Holy Spirit about, why am I okay with miracles, but I'm not okay with tongues? Why do I want to see prophecy activate in my life, but not tongues? Why is that? It's not a good answer. 1 Corinthians 14, here it is. When someone speaks in a tongue, they aren't talking to people. That's what makes, this is why it's so confusing to us. This is why we don't get it. Because when we lay our hands on a sick person to get them healed, like, we get it. Like, it's a normal human interaction. I'm going to a person, I'm trying to help them, I'm trying to do something in the kingdom. But the gift of tongues is of a completely different order. It serves a different purpose. When we speak in tongues, Paul says it's actually not even for the other person. He says it this way. Anyone who speaks in a tongue, this is 1 Corinthians 14. Anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Well, can't I just speak to God in English? You can. But when you speak in a tongue, you don't speak to men, you speak to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. Doesn't that just sound so like cryptic and mysterious and utters mysteries? I'm the mystery utterer. To who? Just to God. You're a weirdo. Darn tootin'. Utters mysteries in their spirit to God. That just sounds so odd. So it's our tendency to just dismiss it. But we'll see that that's not a good approach. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. You know, I like it when people give me encouragement. I mean, I like it when I do something right or do something well and someone acknowledges that. We all do. We love that. I mean, maybe even some of you that don't, you pretend not to. But it feels good to have our deeds, our nature, our character acknowledged and built up. You have the capacity to have some of those same warm fuzzies anytime. Because with the gift of tongues, you can edify yourself. This is what it says. It says, the one who speaks in tongues edifies themselves. Now, that might seem mysterious, but it's not unclear. I mean, it is very clear. You speak in tongues, you edify yourself. That's a good thing. I'll tell you what, with all the crud out there, I like as much edification as I can get. I want it from you. I want it from me. I want it from the mailman. I want edification, okay? Because I'm getting crudification everywhere else, okay? All the crud and the funk and all the difficulties and the pain. The one who speaks in tongues edifies themselves. All right, another point. Tongues aren't made up. I mean, you can fake a healing. You can fake a word of prophecy. You can fake a tongue. But there's a real gift of healing, a real, you know, gift of prophecy in a real tongue. So it's not like tongues is made up. Tongues are real languages. They're real languages. And at least in the example that we see on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit fell, they were languages that the people knew around them at that day. Now, it doesn't always happen that way. In fact, it rarely happens that way. But they are real languages. I'll just give you a few verses here. 1 Corinthians 13:1. If I speak in a tongue, of men or of angels. So here's Paul identifying the capacity for a human being to speak in an angel tongue. Would you even know you were doing it? You're like, you're praying in tongues, and like an angel upstairs is going, hey, he's talking to me. He's like, hey, he's talking my language. There are angel tongues. Do you know it just makes sense if there are human tongues and this is just a shadow of heaven? Of course there are more than one language upstairs. And even more, languages that weren't even of human origin, the tongues of angels. But tongues, whether it's of man or of angels, they're real languages. He says, so if I speak in these tongues but don't have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Paul also then says in 1 Corinthians 14:9, he says, unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. This is Paul validating the fact that when someone prays in a tongue, they're praying in a language. He says, now, I may not know the language, so if the dude's speaking Chinese, in real life, he knows Chinese, I don't know what he's saying, but it's still Chinese. It's really a language. He's saying, when people pray in tongues, it's a real language. He says it has meaning. It's real. It's not fake. It's not a made up thing. It's real. Just because you don't understand Chinese doesn't mean Chinese isn't real. And so it's a real language. Now, this one blows my mind. This passage, there's a lot of depth to it. We're not going to get into the depth of it, but I'm just going to go kind of surface level here. Paul talking about the Spirit helping us intercede by saying things that aren't our vernacular language, all right? It's Romans chapter 8, 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Now, sometimes this actually is straight up groans. Ooh, you know, I've had that happen a couple times. It's pretty intense. Many times, however, the Holy Spirit's interceding through us and for us with a tongue that we don't know what it is that we're saying. Here's the concept I want you to get. The Holy Spirit helping you in your weakness by interceding for you and through you in words you yourself don't know seems so odd. Sometimes I wonder if the Holy Spirit gets us to pray in tongues so we'll pray for things we would never pray for ourselves if we knew better. If we knew what we were saying, I would never pray that. And I wonder if the Holy Spirit tricks us. He's a tricksy all, but he is. He tries to get us in a position where he knows our weakness, not just our weakness in our flesh, our weakness in our willingness. Some of you have such weakness in willingness. Pray in tongues lots of times. Will help you because the Holy Spirit will see right through that weakness and help you in your weakness by interceding for you, even words you would not want to pray for yourself. But it got, because Paul just got done saying, it's a real language and heaven just heard it. And it came out of your mouth. So you're accountable. You prayed it. I don't even know what I prayed. Don't matter. Holy Spirit knew. He is on your team. He likes you. Now, the Holy Spirit praying through us is awesome. And I'm going to share some stories. You know, all these sessions, my game plan is to give us some Bible and then give some real life experience that I've experienced in order to just give you at least one person to be able to go, oh, okay, well, yeah, I could see that. But here's where I want to end this part before I get into some stories. Paul's endorsement of the gift of tongues. So important. I think this is profound. Look what Paul says four times. 1 Corinthians 14:5. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. So Paul's talking to a whole church of people, and he says to all of them, I, Paul, the apostle, that know what I'm talking about, I actually want for all of you to speak in tongues. I think that's a good thing. I want for all of you to speak in tongues. I want you to prophesy even more than that, but I want you to all speak in tongues. I want all of you to do it. So it's a good thing. Tongues is a good thing. 1 Corinthians 14:18, he says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. Now, Paul's not actually trying to like put himself on a pedestal and like, I'm a more tongue talker than you. He's saying, I recognize the value of the gift of tongues so much in my life. I am so thankful this is a gift that I operate in an extreme measure. I am so thankful this is something that I have as a part of my life that's normal, that's every day. I am so glad that tongues is like my second language. You know, like I am so glad tongues is a very real part of my life because it's valuable. That's what he's communicating. Next, he says, whenever you come together, everyone has a hymn. So now Paul's talking about what orderly worship looks like. He's talking about what it means to be the body of Christ. He says this. He says, when you come together, here's some good stuff that's supposed to happen. Here's some good stuff. Says, one of you has a hymn. You know, somebody over here is going, Kumbaya, my Lord. And everybody's like, oh, I'm feeling it today. It's Kumbaya day. And everybody starts singing Kumbaya. We're feeling it. Somebody else, a word of instruction. Somebody in the middle of it, you know, a service, a small group, a moment, has a word of instruction where it's like, man, I feel like the Lord is saying this, about this situation. It's valuable. A word of revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation of a tongue. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. When there are pieces of the pie that are missing from the expression of the body of Christ is not as strong as it could be. That doesn't mean the body of Christ is like bad, dirty, off. It just means we're not as strong as we could be. There are things that are missing. But Paul says, when you come together, there's a place for these things. He's validating the gift of tongues on this list. He's validating tongues like he's validating singing a hymn or having a word of revelation from the Lord. He's saying, if you want to sing a hymn, he says, I think that's a good thing. I think it's good for you guys to sing hymns. He said, I also think it's good if there's a tongue or an interpretation of a tongue that occurs. He says, this is good. All right, next one. 1 Corinthians 14, then we'll get into some stories. Therefore, brothers, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. But everything should be done in a fitting and an orderly way. And then he goes on to talk about the ways tongues are supposed to operate in when you're in public gatherings and the ways tongues are not supposed to operate. So he says, don't forbid it, but don't do it wrong either. He says, there are a lot of ways to do it wrong. Probably the default would be to do it wrong. The reason Paul is writing 1 Corinthians is Corinthians were doing everything wrong. Whether it was sexual immorality or gifts of the Spirit, they were doing it wrong. And so Paul's stepping in to say, hey, listen. The sexual morality thing just needs to go. Okay, there's no place for that. There is a place for the gifts of the Spirit. Just do them right. Do them in love. Do them in a way that's honoring and a way that's orderly. So here's what to do, and what to not do. He says, quit doing it, the don't do it. He says, don't do it that way anymore. But don't forbid it, because there is a place for it. Now, I can remember. I was saved in a context that didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, and I didn't realize. You know, some of you might not even know this. The group of people that you run with, there are some blessings and some difficulties that are associated with that for you, no matter what you want, think, or personally feel. There are some things related to a context that, like, for instance, when people join this community, it's a pretty normal thing for them to start having prophetic dreams, even if they never had prophetic dreams before. Why? Because there's kind of prophetic dreams resting on the community. I don't know what that is. I don't exactly know how to explain that, but it's something that happens around here. The thought process of feeling the value of community is another thing that happens here. Also, undergoing spiritual attack and facing difficulties, that also seems to be part of our anointing around here, okay? Every community, every church has some of those things. I didn't realize in the church context that I was in, there was such an ardent prejudice against the gift of tongues. And I didn't realize how that got on me. Now, I just got saved a couple years ago. I don't have any reason. At this point, I'd been saved for a year. I don't have any reason to like or dislike tongues, but I didn't like it. That's bad. I know it's bad. Why was it bad? Because I was in a context that said it was bad. And so it just got on me. I didn't realize I was operating in a prejudice against the gift of tongues. And the reason that that matters is because I told you in a previous session, I went to a conference. And at that conference, this girl read my mail and started prophesying about my life. I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit resting on me. I started shaking. I got filled with the Holy Spirit. It was a powerful moment for me. I didn't even know what filled with the Holy Spirit was, but here I was at this conference, filled with the Holy Spirit. I walked away from the conference trying to figure out what the heck just happened to me. And I'm reading the Bible about this encounter after you get saved that's called being baptized with the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Holy Spirit. An encounter. But each of the times that I saw it in the Word, I saw they got filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke in other tongues. And I then had a wrong idea in my mind that that's the only way it could be done. So if you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you must speak in tongues. That's what I thought. So I always had this problem because I'm at this conference and I got filled with the Holy Spirit, but I didn't get tongues and I didn't understand that. And that made me all the more prejudiced against tongues. Like, well, it must be a dirty gift then if I didn't get it. I don't want no tongues if I'm not going to get no tongues. But I started to realize I'm looking through this list that we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 through 11. I'm reading the list and I'm realizing all that's between these power gifts are commas. That's the only thing between them. I'm like, I want miracles. Like, I want healing. God help me want tongues because I don't want it, but I want it. I want to want it. Does that count? And I started to pray daily, God, give me the gift of tongues, not realizing I was so prejudiced against the gift of tongues. I really didn't want it, but I knew well enough to know I should probably fight through that. So I'm praying every day. Now, it's my birthday. This is probably 2000, right there. And it's my birthday, and I'm praying, and I've been praying for weeks and weeks every day, God, give me the gift of tongues, give me the gift of tongues. And I pray, and I remember right there, I said, Holy Spirit, yeah, come on, give me the gift of tongues. And I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. I've been trying, but you're fighting me. And I said, I don't know about that. And immediately the Holy Spirit brought to mind the following situation that had occurred maybe 3 or 5 times, somewhere in that range. I was in prayer, and all of a sudden I started to feel, I know this sounds so bizarre, but I want to be as honest with you as I can be and help you relate. I felt like I had words that I needed to throw up. It didn't feel like throw up, it felt like words. But it felt like words that I wanted to vomit. And they weren't words that I knew. But I was in a prayer time, and all of a sudden I started to feel something in me like, I was like, no, don't throw up. Throwing up's not a good idea, whether it's food or words. And so there were a number of times where that had happened in a time of prayer where I was feeling the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden I would suppress it and be like, no. If it's going to be real, it's going to be uncontrollable. If I'm going to get tongues, it's got to be such a flow that I can't even stop it and nobody can get in my way. And it's just going to be so uncontrollable. And I felt the Holy Spirit bringing to mind, you remember those 3 to 5 times that I've been doing that thing and that you've been suppressing it? Quit it. I said, okay, Holy Spirit, next time it happens, next time I feel that, I'll give in. And if I'm a fool, I'm a fool for you. I don't know how this works, but I'll do it. It's a couple days later, maybe it was the next day, and I'm praying and all of a sudden I feel it again. And I'm like, oh no. I said I was going to do it. I'm like, well, there's nobody around to judge me if I'm wrong or if I'm dumb. And I opened my mouth and I threw up, if you will. I let these words that they were, I'd never experienced this before. If you've never experienced tongues before, it is a really weird thing the first time. And 50th. And all of a sudden, this beautiful language started coming out of my mouth. And it's like I was sitting next to myself watching going, what is going on? Because it wasn't me. I mean, it was obviously me, but it wasn't me. These were words I did not know. This was a flow. It was coming out as a whole language. And I was just flowing. It was coming out. I was like, oh my gosh. And I was feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I was like, I'm an idiot. This was such a great idea. Why didn't I do this a long time ago? I'm feeling the Holy Spirit. At the same time, I'm totally confused because I'm like, I have no idea what I am saying right now. I have no clue. I feel God. I've got Bible verses that say this is okay, and I have no understanding of what's happening to me right now. And furthermore, I can start and stop when I good and well please. That is bizarro. And it's the gift of tongues. And it's beautiful. And you want it. It is glorious. Well, one of the things that Paul makes clear related to the gift of tongues is that we're not supposed to draw attention to the gift of tongues. It's not about drawing attention to the gift of tongues, it's about using it in a way that's helpful. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 14, 28. He says, if there's no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God. He says, if there's no interpreter, pray in tongues like crazy. Just don't do it so other people can hear it because it's not for them to hear. He said, pray in tongues like crazy. He says, do it, but keep quiet to yourself. So I'll just tell you this. I pray in tongues every day, but you probably won't hear it. I mean, if you do, it's not I'm not necessarily like trying to hide it from you or whatever, but it's not for you to hear. It can be a distraction for you to hear because you don't know what the heck I'm saying. I don't know what I'm saying, but at least I feel edified. You hear and you're just like, well, Brad's praying in tongues again. Doesn't make a lick of sense to you. Paul says, pray in tongues like crazy. But if there's not an interpreter, it's not for other people to hear. It's not for them. He said, that's not how this is supposed to work. If there's no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. Do it. Pray in tongues like crazy. So if the whole church comes together, this is 1 Corinthians 14:23. The whole church comes together and everyone speaks in a tongue. So just imagine everybody in here is going for it, okay? And someone who does not understand, that would be somebody who goes to a church context that thinks tongues is crazy. They love Jesus, but they think tongues is crazy, okay? He says, if someone comes in who doesn't understand or a lost person, unbeliever, those are two different groups of people that are going to be wigged out by this. He said, if an unbeliever or somebody who doesn't understand come in, will they not say you're all out of your mind? Y'all are crazy. I am not coming back to this church. That's why. Tongues is precious, but it's not supposed to be public unless it's interpreted. And so I want to encourage all of you, pray in tongues. Just do it quieter. Pray in tongues every day. In fact, you should pray in tongues more. Are you telling me I shouldn't pray in tongues? I'm telling you, you should pray in tongues 10 times as much. Just do it quieter. Pray in tongues. It's valuable. You edify yourself. But in the church, Paul says, I'd rather you speak a few intelligible words than 10,000 words in a tongue because nobody knows what you're saying. It's not helpful. It's not helpful. Now, again, I said I pray in tongues every day. I have nearly for 20 years. Every day. It's a valuable part of my life. Your pastor prays in tongues every day. I think it's valuable. Now, I'm going to change gears a little bit because the gift of tongues, like every gift of the Holy Spirit, it's nuanced. It's multifaceted. There's lots going on there. There's aspects that you could never figure all of it out. I think that there's kind of two main modes of the gift of tongues. And I don't have all this figured out, but I think there's two main modes. One, I think, is a devotional language, edifying yourself. You're praying in a tongue, and I think it's devotional prayers mostly. I'm thinking it's mostly the, I love you, God, you're amazing, help me feel you. I'm thinking that's what's going on, because that's certainly what I'm feeling when I'm praying in tongues, okay? But there's also a second mode of operation, at least a second, and that is the Holy Spirit interceding through us. Now, I'll give you a really interesting detail. Before I wound up in Africa, in a French-speaking African nation, I get baptized, I get filled with tongues, and I'm praying in tongues, and I'm realizing my tongue sounds a lot like French, what little I understand about French, and a lot like an African dialect, what little I understand about an African dialect. So I am praying in a tongue that, to me, sounds both French and African. I kind of like wondered, I'm like, when I get over there, is this going to be like something real? It turned out it wasn't anything that anybody knew. But I just think it's the whispers of the Holy Spirit even speaking to me about my future. Like he could have done it. He could have been Italian and, you know, whatever. I mean, it could have been anything. But that's my devotional tongue. And I don't know how to describe this. There are times where I'll be in prayer and I'm praying in tongues. And all of a sudden, I feel the Spirit resting on me in a unique way. And the tongue changes. And it's no longer that devotional. It doesn't sound like that at all. Now it sounds like an angry Asian man. And it comes out of me like with fire. And I'm like, oh boy, it's that time again. And it comes in a way I can't explain. It is not the same language. It doesn't sound the same. It doesn't feel the same. And I know I am in intercession mode right now. I can feel it all over it. Sometimes I'll even know what I'm praying for in a general sense. I will feel it, and I am now operating in the gift of tongues in intercession mode, and I'm feeling it on me, and I'm like, whoa, and it's like the difference between praying and feeling it in intercession. We all know what that's like, even in English. It's one of those moments, but now it's in a tongue, and it's just as real if it's in English, but I don't know what I'm saying. That's just an interesting detail. It's like, why does that sound so different than the other one? I don't know, because it's the gift of tongues. Not the gift of tongue. I don't know. I got nothing. I don't know why it's that way, but it is that way. When that Holy Spirit intercession comes on me, though, it's powerful. I feel the power of God coursing through me. And I'll tell you this. When I'm praying devotionally in tongues, I feel like I can start and stop whenever I want. When that intercession thing comes on me, I feel like I have got to see this through to whenever the Holy Spirit's done with me. Like, I feel like I can't just quit. I mean, I could, but it would be like grieving the Holy Spirit. It's like, You have permission to quit, sort of, but don't. Like, just go ahead and get it all out. Whenever it's done, it's like, oh, okay. Okay, good. Can we wait another couple weeks? Because, man, that was intense. That was like, before we do that one again, Jesus, let's, whew. And then I normally pray about it and see if the Lord will give me anything. All right, I'm going to shift. And now I want to talk about the gift of interpretation of tongues. Okay? Again, I'll share some stories. And I'll say this with you, for you. It is impossible to please God without faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. So the entire kingdom of God operates off this mysterious, intangible called faith. I believe this is the word of God. What if it's not? I believe that it's the word of God. I believe the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. I believe that the gifts of the Spirit are real. I believe. Why? Because that's what the Bible says, because that's how faith works. So I want to tell you this. The gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation of tongues are not separate from this principle in the kingdom. It's impossible to please God without faith. It takes faith to operate in the gift of tongues or the gift of interpretation of tongues. It takes faith to believe that the interpretation is actually from the Lord. But that's what it takes to flow in a gift of prophecy. That's what it takes to lay your hands on a sick person. That's what it takes. Every aspect of the kingdom of God requires faith. And without faith, God no smile, okay? It's impossible to please him without faith. So I want to tell you, yeah, all of this is out on a ledge. We're out on a limb believing that we're going to be okay to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, to praise Jesus, to share your faith. It requires faith. It requires faith. Look what Paul says here, 1 Corinthians 14, 12-13. So since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. Paul says this, it's valuable to have tongues interpreted. He said, that's not just good, it's a way to build up the church. He says, since you want to operate in the gifts, try to operate in gifts that build up the church. Oh, by the way, interpreting tongues builds up the church. Next verse, 14:27. Anyone who speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. Someone must interpret because interpretation of tongues is valuable. It's a gift in the body of Christ. And it's a gift that, let me just tell you this too. If you don't straight up have the gift of healing, you can still pray for people and see them healed. If you don't have the straight up, the gift of prophecy, you can still operate in the prophetic because you got the Holy Spirit living in you. If you don't have the gift of interpretation of tongues, it's like on you resting all the time, you can still interpret tongues because there's one Holy Spirit. And while that Holy Spirit rests on certain people in a thicker way in one way, in a thicker way in one gift, in a thicker way in one anointing, it's the one Holy Spirit we all have access to. So whether you're talking about someone with the gift of interpretation of tongues or someone who loves Jesus, who got the Holy Spirit inside of them and says, Holy Spirit, give me the interpretation of that tongue right now, the Holy Spirit can move and operate. He says, I want for you to know you have access to the gift of interpretation of tongues and it's valuable for the church. 1 Corinthians 14:5, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I'd rather have you prophesy because the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets. So that the church may be edified. Paul right here says, the gift of interpretation of tongues turns a tongue into a prophetic word. He said, you like prophecy. He said, prophecy is better than tongues. Unless the tongue is interpreted, then they're equal. Because if the tongue is interpreted, now there's an edification that goes forth in the church. When you operate in the gift of prophecy, it's a gamble. Maybe you are flat out wrong. I've had a few of those. I've said something to somebody and they're like, dude, you're an idiot. I'm like, well, sorry, I tried. Sometimes they said that because I read their mail and they didn't want to tell me. Sometimes I'm just, well, I just missed it. That happens too. Same way with the gift of interpretation of tongues and tongues. But why not us rather with humility reach for more of the Lord according to what the word says? I'm not talking about going outside of the boundaries of scripture. I'm talking about operating within them. Doing what the word says and seeing the Holy Spirit move in and through into us. All right, so when interpretation of tongues happens, the tongue now becomes a prophetic word. That's pretty stinking awesome. And now if you have somebody that's got straight up the gift of interpretation of tongues, they're a gift in the body of Christ that is unbelievably valuable. Because now they can hear what people are saying and praying and tell us the mysteries that are being uttered in the spirit of the person who has no idea what they're saying. And now we can know what is God communicating through that person to the Lord. That's really powerful. We got to see a little bit of that a few weeks ago here in service. That was beautiful. I'll just say it this way. That was one of the clearest ways I have ever seen the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues done in a public setting according to the scripture. It was the clearest. It was like by the book. I mean, it was beautifully done. So whatever else you might think about how things went a few weeks ago, that was one of the best by the book moments of the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues that I've ever seen in any context ever. It was very well done. All right, let me give you a fun story. I'm in Africa. I am in a French-speaking nation. What French-speaking nation means is those that are educated, which it's a minority class. That's not the majority. The minority of the nation, if they're educated, they're educated, and part of their education is they speak French because French is more of an international language than so many of the local dialects, okay? So I'm in a French-speaking nation. But in the course of the time I was there, I encountered like 40 different languages. So I'm walking down the street, and there's somebody from Congo. There's somebody, you know, from Ghana. There's somebody from, you know, Senegal. I'm meeting people from all over the place, and they're all with different languages, different dialects, different tongues. So I am in a country where English is the least helpful thing to know on the planet. In fact, I think speaking in tongues probably served me better than speaking English, okay? Because at least I got edified. I mean, it's like no one knew what I was saying in English, all right? Now, that's the context I'm in. And I wind up in a Pentecostal church in a French-speaking nation where so many of the congregation speak their own native tongues, but it's a Pentecostal church. And they are tongue-talking crazies. Okay, I come into that church and they are all praying in different tongues, not their language, tongues. So I'm hearing French, their native language, and languages that they don't even know every Sunday in church. I'm hearing all of it. And I'm like, dude, this is a trip. How did I wind up here? This is bizarre. At the same time, I'm feeling the Holy Spirit. I was like, I don't even care about all that. I'm just going to worship Jesus. I would feel the Lord in those meetings. I wouldn't know a word that was said, prayed, or preached. I would not know a lick, and I'd feel God. Now, what's crazy is one day, the pastor's wife, middle of worship, she's on the worship team. They're singing, and all of a sudden, things kind of shift a little bit in the room. And she starts going off in a tongue, and the room gets quiet. Because it was one of those holy moments where it's like, this is a prophetic word through a tongue. It's about to happen right now. And I'm looking around going, somebody's going to interpret this. This is going to be awesome. So I'm looking around the room. And all of a sudden, I'm like, Holy Spirit, who's going to interpret it? And immediately, I get the interpretation. I go, oh, no, you didn't. I get it clear. I know exactly what she's saying. I went from a fly on the wall going, what is going on here? It's going, oh, my gosh, I know what she's saying. I know. And I know I'm the one with the interpretation. And I know the Lord is saying, you are going to get up there. And you are going to give the interpretation. And I go, this is the weirdest thing you've ever done in the history of the human race. So I get up and I go to the pastor. I say, Pastor, I know this is so bizarre. I've got the interpretation. He says, well, get up there, brother. Let's go. So he brings me up there. Now check out the way this had to go. All right. No one in the room knows English except the pastor and his wife. No one. Only a few people in the room know French. Most people know Bambara, which was the native language, the native tongue. So here's what happens. I get up there, and the pastor explains, Brother Brad has got the interpretation. Everyone in the room is like, the white dude from America who doesn't know any language here? Okay, whatever. I then give the interpretation, and I'm feeling it strong. I give the interpretation. The pastor hears it from me in English. Then reiterates it in French. Then it's translated by somebody else, one of their elders, from French into Bambara. So I've got to wait 3 degrees for the room to hear the interpretation of the worship leader's tongue. It was the most bizarre thing, and the whole room started bursting out. It was a Holy Spirit moment. Like, it was the word. I don't remember what the word was. I don't even remember what the word was, because I was so baffled by what was happening and that I was even a part of it. It was befuddling to me. The whole room just broke out into worship. It was an incredible moment. And I'm like, Lord, your ways are not our ways. That is not how I would do that. That seems like a very interesting way to orchestrate a meeting, in my opinion. We go to IHOP one time. We bring with us a young lady who, I don't think she'd given her life to the Lord yet. I think she was kind of in process. And we brought her to IHOP with us, and we're at a conference. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the conference, one of the sessions, and I'm sitting maybe as far as from here to Amy. And all of a sudden, like, she gets filled with the Holy Spirit right there in the middle of the conference. Okay? And she starts speaking in tongues. And she's like looking at herself, like watching the words come out of her mouth, like, what is happening to me right now? And that goes on for a minute or so. And then she looks over at me with this gaping jaw look. I mean, jaw dropped. She goes, Brad, come here. I understand what everyone is saying. I said, what do you mean? She said, that guy right there. I said, they're praying in tongues. She said, I know what he's saying. And she starts telling me. And I was like, well, okay. I go, what about this one? There's another person over here praying in tongues. And she starts telling me. Listen, this girl has no reason to lie. She's not trying to look cool. She is freaked out of her mind. She's having one of the most crazy moments she'll ever have in her whole life. She just got the gift of interpretation of tongues right there in the moment. So you know what we started doing? We started going around. I was like, well, come on, let's do it. I go, this is live. Let's go. And so I start going around to the person. I go, tap on the shoulder. Hey, sir, come here. Let me tell you what you're saying. All right, tell him. And she's like, da-da-da. And the guy's like, oh my gosh. And then she's like, how do I know this? And then we go to the next girl. They're like, okay, hey, why don't you pray in tongues a little bit? Okay. She just got the gift of interpretation tongues. Just go with it. They pray, and then she interprets, and they're like, oh my gosh. We did like 5 or 6 of them. It was the craziest thing ever, because the gift of interpretation of tongues is real. It's real. Sweet Cherish Cooper gets filled with the Spirit, time's going on, she's operating in different gifts, and some time ago, she gets the gift of interpretation of tongues, and she's one of those that I know I can lean on. She's one that, like, I was fully confident the other day when Eric had the tongue in service, because I'm like, if nobody else gets it, I know Cherish has, because that girl legit has the gift of interpretation of tongues, and she doesn't like that pressure. I'm sure right now, wherever she is, she's mad at me for saying this out loud, but I'm right. She's got the gift of interpretation of tongues, and when someone speaks in tongues, she knows what they're saying. And it's not because she wants the spotlight. That girl does not want the spotlight. She wants the opposite of that, which is, those are always my favorite, because they're so trustworthy. There's like, there's no guile in them. They're not after anything. They just want Jesus. It's like, it does seem fitting that the Lord would do it to them, you know? Like, here, listen, I'm going to actually allow you to be part of the dialogue and the conversation that you would so prefer to opt out of, but I'm going to let you be a part of it, and everybody's going to trust you because you're sweet as pie. And so I know that to be real. And so there have been times where, you know, even, you know, a few months ago or whatever, we were in a prayer meeting before the service. And I said, Cherish, I'm about to pray in tongues. You're going to interpret it. And I did. I prayed in tongues, and boom, she had it right then. I mean, she had zero warning, and she had the interpretation right there because she's got that gift. It's a gift in the body of Christ. Here's how I want to leave us today. Worship team and Andy, you can come on up. Here's how I want to leave us today. 1 Corinthians 14, 12-13. It's that final verse we got. Since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. Here's where I want to leave us today. There are some of you in this room that you're like, I've not really prayed in tongues before. I don't really know I don't know that I like that. I'm kind of hoping this service is over soon. We don't have to talk about this anymore. The gift of tongues is a gift from God, and he only gives good gifts. It's the only kind he knows how to give. So the gift of tongues is good, and I promise you, you want it. I promise you, as a former skeptic, as a former person with prejudice against the gift, didn't want it. I promise you, you want this gift. You want the gift of tongues. You want to start praying through whatever blocks are there. Maybe the block is just you never asked for it before. That could be a block. Maybe the block is you've got prejudices like I did. Well, look, you're no worse off than I was. The Lord gave it to me. pray for the gift of tongues. If you don't have the gift of tongues, pray that God would give it to you. If you have the gift of tongues, pray that you might interpret. Pray that the Lord would let you either have the gift of interpretation of tongues or start using you in that way in various times. See, here's what this series is really all about. Engaging the Holy Spirit more as a daily part of life. Seeing God move in power. And I'm telling you, it is powerful to see the Holy Spirit move in and through.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.